All right. Today we're with Daniel Stockdale, the Albany State University head baseball coach, as we do a podcast series, as our continued podcast series is about the HBCU baseball coaches and the many things that they do for their baseball programs. Coach Stockdale, how are you today?
Doing well. Getting ready to head out for the SIC tournament. And that's where our focus is, but we're having a good day here in Albany.
Well, I want to discuss a few things with you. And one of them is last year, when you were brought on board for Albany, you came in and you made a difference. Not just as a coach, but as a mentor. And the kids bought into your program, and it showed when you made the NCAA regionals. You care to discuss that?
Yeah, last year was a really different year for all of our student athletes. It was a different year for me. I was at Savannah State. The opportunity opened up at Albany State to become the head baseball coach. So midway during the year, went over to Albany State. Got there, and there was a bunch of seniors staring me in the face. So that's when I learned my first head coaching job, and the hard thing to do is to win the seniors over, because especially when you come in at that time of the season. So those guys, they jumped on board eventually, and we started playing very good baseball once we got to our conference. We ended up not as the one seed going into the tournament, but the three seed. They believed in what we were doing at that point, though. I knew that at that point going into the tournament that we were going to be a dangerous team. The fortunate thing for us last year, and we were able to have the success in the tournament, is because, honestly, we weren't the front runners. If we were front runners, we wouldn't have been able to surprise teams like we did when we did get to the tournament. We had to play Steelman three times. They were a very tough opponent at the time, still are. But the guys just bought in and just started playing better baseball. And it was a thrill to be able to go to the NCAA tournament and represent the SIAC conference.
Well, how did that carry over to this year? Considering, considering this is what came out of that NCAA regionals. Major League Baseball scouts, who has been pretty scarce here lately to HBCU's the smaller school division, there were a couple players that they're interested in, and one of them is to me, he's an all world player. I think his name is Worth. Terrence Worth, who was, and I'm sorry, Coach. Go ahead.
Touch on that. One thing I try to tell a lot of players that are at smaller schools, whether it's Division I or NAIA or Division II, particularly HBCU schools, when it comes to baseball, is you have to understand what level you need to be on to reach any of your dreams. All of our players want to make it to the major leagues. They all do. So they need the opportunity. Winning the SIAC is the first step to getting an opportunity, because you need to get to an NCAA regional or at any level to make sure your student athletes are showcased. Because what I learned in the regional last year was, the scouts show up at practices. They give you a day, you get in there, and then you have a meeting that night, and the next day you have just a practice. And you're there a couple of days before the games even start. Scouts are all over the place. They're asking you at the meetings. They're asking you at the practices, hey, who's your guy? Who do you have in the 3-hole? Who's going to start? The scouts are very interested in those things. So once you play on that level, you have that opportunity. And that's what we do with recruiting. We're recruiting against, because this is a Division II level, we're recruiting against other HBCU schools at the Division I level. And with recruiting, I try to talk about how important it is to not worry about what level you're playing on, but how much exposure you're actually going to get. So that has carried over to this year. We played an extremely difficult schedule. During the season, I've heard some different things. I heard we had a top 10 schedule in all of America. And that's some of the things that we're trying to do at Albany State to get our players exposure. We're trying to play a tough schedule, and we're just trying to win our conference.
Well, Coach, you did have a top 10 schedule. According to the RPI index, you were ranked as high as number 10. And I mean, think about the teams you took on. Columbus State, 36-10. University of Tampa, 33-7. University of South Carolina, Aiken, 33-4. And that's just a tenth of the schedule this year. You had a brutal schedule by any NCAA standards. And I commend you for having that schedule. But the thing is, you play through the schedule.
Yeah, that's correct. We did. We didn't make any excuses. We didn't look at being 0-9. We started 0-9. We didn't look at it saying like, oh man, now we have Columbus State or Georgia College coming up. We just one game at a time, and we just continued to show up. There's no counseling game for me as a coach. There's no running away from talent. It's understanding what we're trying to get accomplished. And what we're trying to get accomplished is we're trying to get our players exposure so they can make it to the next level. And what we're also trying to accomplish is if you play tough in the beginning, your conference is a nice, easy breeze. But that's what we want to get to. Our conference was still tough this year. We took some losses in our conference as well. But There were far less losses and a lot more wins because of the caliber of teams that we played. But when we get to the SIAC, the games slow down a little bit for our players in their heads, and they have a lot more confidence with what they're doing because they're not seeing a 90-mile-an-hour fastball literally every game. They're not facing a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hole hitter that can hit the ball out of the ballpark on everybody's team in the SIAC. There's some very good players in the SIAC, but for the most part, when you're playing against the University of Tampa, who is a defending national champion, and they've beaten minor league teams before in the past, when you're playing a team like that, and then you go play another team that's not on that level, it gives our guys the advantage, and it gives them all of the confidence in the world to win a ball game and a championship, ultimately.
Well, how do you see Albany State coming into the SIAC tournament?
Overlooked, honestly. It's great. We're the number one seed this year. We were able to win the Eastern Division Championship, and that was something that we wanted to set out to do. And we did it, but there's some really good teams in the league. Miles College is very good. They're all good. They're all very good. Claflin, Payne, Tuskegee, our number one opponent this year. They're all very good. But Stillman is Stillman again, and Miles has shown that they're very good. They took two games out of Spring Hill, and then we played teams in our division alone that gave us a tough time this year. So. But we're going into the SIAC conference championship to win. There's absolutely no hiding. We're not going to apologize for it. We're going to win the tournament. And so for us to do that, we have to play good baseball. We have to remain humble, stay positive, and just compete every single day. And hopefully we can get it done this year.
How has that helped your recruiting?
Significantly. I tell you what, when you win, players they start calling you. You don't have to really seek them out. So we were able to really get some good players off of the NCAA berth from last year, and we have them on our roster now. And then moving forward, there's other good players that are out there that that want to be a part of what Albany State has going on. So it's really helped. And then when you're playing a schedule, we call it the national schedule. When you're playing a national schedule, it really helps. It really helps to bring players in because they see it as, man, this is really an opportunity for me to go to a school, an HBCU school, play good baseball in an HBCU conference. But it also gives me the opportunity to play 30 games outside of the conference. That's significant. Now, we only play 20 SIC games. 30 of our games aren't even in our conference. They're against, you know, high-level baseball teams. So we're able to really get recruits off of that, and that really helps a lot. Helps with the diversity as well. It really helps with the diversity of the team. Players are they're just more willing to come to Albany State and play baseball. That's what they're interested in now.
Well, and that's what kids look for. Kids look for it. Believe it or not, kids, they understand the aspect of the game, and they look for competition, especially who they're being recruited by, what schedule that they play, and whom they're playing. And because you went to Savannah State, you were assistant at Savannah State under Carlton Hardy. What has become a main tool for you after you left Savannah State?
Coach Hardy is one of the best baseball coaches in the country. I'm sorry, I didn't say conference. He's one of the best baseball coaches in the in the county. And that, oh my goodness, what am I trying to say? In the country, and he's definitely one of the better baseball coaches in all of the MEAC. I learned a lot from Coach Hardy. One of the things that I learned from him is you have to work to be great at what you want to do. You can't fake it. You have to know what you're doing because at the college level, if you don't know what you're doing, the other guy in the dugout does. You have to prepare for each game. You have to prepare hard for each practice. So we basically brought that mentality to Albany State. I talked to Coach Hardy all the time. We had a scouting day event together back in the fall, and we look forward to doing it again this year. So I would say that Coach Hardy is absolutely one of my mentors, if not one of my main mentors, no doubt about it. He taught me a lot about the game at this level, and that's what we're doing here. We're just the Savannah State West, I guess, now. we're doing a lot of similar things as far as practice planning, practice scheduling, scouting reports, and but obviously we have a completely different staff. We're doing things our way, and I learned a lot from him, and he's a great coach.
Well, to start winding this podcast down, where do you see Albany State in the next 5 years?
That's a great question.
Let me say this, Coach. Let me say this. With that schedule that you have, and I don't mean to go back to the schedule, but I'm a firm believer in having a top schedule gets nothing but top recruitment. Getting top recruitment means you're getting nothing but the best talent out there. Where do you see that in 5 years?
If Albany State continues down the path that we're on right now, I think that Albany State University baseball is going to be a national power. And I say that because right now we're getting that opportunity to look at the national powers, Florida Tech, the Lee University, Valdosta State, Columbus, Tampa. We're able to look at some of those top 25 teams and gauge where we're at. We're not there yet, but we have definitely gotten a lot closer. We've played some close games. We've won a couple of games, and I think in the next 5 years, if Albany State commits to baseball, if Albany State commits and you continuing to be better, it's going to be great. The university itself is under a merge right now. They're merging Albany State with a local college here, so it's going to be a bigger university in the future. I think the future of baseball for Albany State is going to be great.
Well, no coach in the history of college baseball or Major League Baseball ever came in the first to second or third year. About your third year, you start making a difference. And then from that point on, then you have a program that competes and competes well. And I see that through you, Stockdale. I see that because as a former baseball, a collegiate baseball player, they normally say that after your freshman year, about your junior year is when you turn things around. And after your junior year, then you're starting to get blue chip players in. And I know for a fact that you're getting yourself lined up with these players. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're correct. You're absolutely correct. You know, a lot of guys regionally, we know about at this point, we're putting in for a lot of those guys. They're still not committing. They're still, you know, Albany State still isn't at the level that they would like to play at. But we're getting there as a coaching staff. We're getting there.
Well, one of the things that you have to do as a coach, and this happens a lot in collegiate baseball, is year in and year out, it's a hard sell to the administration how important it is, baseball, the recruiting process, putting a good product on the field. It seems like administrators don't always buy into it, because if it's not a revenue-generating sport like football or basketball, these teams, they can fly across the country, and then they put a baseball team on a bus or a van. It's a hard sell for administrators when baseball is a national draw.
I agree. I just appreciate being a collegiate head coach. You know, I just try to smell the roses every day. Not a lot of people that get this opportunity. So baseball, though, is, and I'll just say from an HBCU standpoint, it is absolutely not the number one attraction at anybody's school. Football, basketball, usually takes precedence. And at non-HBCU schools that have football teams, especially here in the South, football takes priority. Then perhaps baseball, but you know, whatever you have, you just got to work with it. You know, the NCAA doesn't really take baseball as a priority. If you want to really look at it from an administration standpoint nationally, they give you 11.7 at the Division I level, and 9 at the Division II level. Now, but the basketball team at the Division II level gets 10 scholarships, and they need significantly less players than the baseball team. And, you know, this argument has been made time after time after time again. The great Ron Polk had issues with the NCAA as far as scholarships are concerned. He thought you needed 25 scholarships, or whatever the number it was that he used. And other coaches in the business talk about it all the time. So baseball at the collegiate level isn't necessarily a top priority anywhere. But then when you do look at the HBCU schools, it becomes even less of a priority just in general. So, like I said, I think all you have to do is what we talk about to our players is just be grateful for what we have. And if we want to change things, we can do it by winning. We can do it.
Is the administrative high on you, Coach?
At my school, my athletic director is Dr. Richard Williams. He's a very supportive guy. He allows me to play the schedule that we play. doesn't put that kind of pressure on us. He wants us to do well in conference. But he's been great. As far as our president, no, they're not as supportive as they could be. And I say that live on the podcast because it's just the truth. But our athletic staff, they're very supportive.
You find that at non-HBCUs as well as HBCUs. And like I said, it's a revenue stream. And the thing is that at the high school level, every year they're seeing more than 440,000 kids coming out of high school are looking to play collegiate baseball. Of that 440,000, I think they said only 42% will. And that's because of administrators. And you touched on something earlier. There's a very low percent of scholarships available for collegiate baseball. And it really hurts the program, considering you have... It's not like football. Football takes 99 players on the road each year for each game. Baseball, you'll probably get 35 players, and of those 35, 25 will probably be there from opening day until the last game of the season. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're right. You're absolutely correct. You definitely travel less. The different rules, Division II is 20, 25. Division I is 27. You can travel 35. You can keep on the roster. Division II doesn't necessarily have a roster limit. So you really could keep 50 on the roster, but 25 is all you can play. Like you said, if they let you travel 40, then you could travel 40, because it's funny you came up with that number. I didn't know that number, 440,000 student athletes every year. I didn't realize that was that many. But it's funny because baseball team could have they can have as many, if not more, baseball players if they would just open up more scholarships, if they allowed that to happen at the NCAA level, if they allowed the rosters to be expanded. Now, I'm not saying that you need to take 50 baseball players with you, dugouts won't hold them, but you could take 30 players with you. You could give 15 scholarships. You need a lot of players. It's very difficult signing players with just 9 scholarships. And that's if the administration gives you 9 scholarships. If they only give you 4 scholarships or 2 scholarships, now you can, if you gave everybody 25%, you can only sign, 8, 12, 16 players that get some kind of money, but they still have to figure out how to pay for the rest of their school. It's extremely difficult. Also, in baseball, you play more games. You're away more. These players, baseball, you go from day one of classes. You start in August, September, and if you're lucky enough, you go to a regional at any level. Kids have already graduated. When we went to a regional last year, they had already had graduation. And this is obviously at the Division I level, the World Series and Super Regionals, that happens in June. And then those kids, they come right back for fall baseball on September 1st.
And they play summer ball as well.
Oh, yeah. A lot of those guys are playing summer baseball as well. I mean, these kids are working. They're working, in my opinion, harder than a football team, harder than a basketball team, harder than any other sport. Softball would be similar to baseball at the collegiate level because they have a fall season and then they play their games in the spring where they play, I don't know what a softball schedule consists of, but it seems like they got at least 50, 60 games as well on their schedule. So, it really should be looked at. But I know that it's already been an argument that Slater coaches and I have made for decades at this point. Hopefully the NCAA looks at it. Hopefully universities look at it and they go from there. They at least, from a university standpoint, they're given the number. It's 9 scholarships. They at least fund the 9 scholarships. If you're going to fund the program, just give us the 9 scholarships. That's it. Give it to us. Give us the 11.7. And I guarantee you, at that point, baseball would become a revenue sport. It'll happen.
It's just a matter of time.
Absolutely.
Coach, I want to thank you for the podcast series. And I wish you well, because I know the position that you're in. I know as the head coach, and you're opening the program up. In case people are wondering, Albany State has never, ever played a major schedule. At least I can say when I played them back in my days of collegiate baseball. You're taking the programs to a new heights, and that will open up not just the athletic department, but the school itself. Coach, on behalf of Black College Nines, we thank you.